Loving them. I am loving them.
Your life, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Okay. This is so serious, you guys. I need you guys, those online, everybody, to stop what you're doing and go ahead and email request, because she has so much material that is busting outside of her house.
Yeah.
This is Tahira Ruffin, one of our ministers, yeah. And she is responsible for sending out to leads, anointed oil, Bibles, 101. And the 101 books are in Spanish and English, and they help you to understand what you're reading. And just before I rolled this up, I gave this to a friend of mine that I've been ministering with. She says she's going through it.
Really?
Jesus. It's joyous, and I've just been praying with her, because she's a spiritual person, but not necessarily a God-fearing person. And I know that book is about to minister to her. Amen.
Yeah.
And so this is where you go. Go right now. S4CBible101@gmail.com. Super simple, right?
Super
simple. Just stop. Go ahead and send a request. She needs your full name and address. Those are the main things. If you give her that much, she'll figure out what to send you. She's prayerful about everything that she sends out. Again, another just powerful woman of God. Just, we are just blessed to have so many ministers come through this house, and she is faithful about this job.
Yes.
To the point she's saying, I got stuff to give out. Please help me give it out. So please, you guys, if you're interested, if you know somebody that knows somebody that needs a prayer, needs a prayer shawl, needs some anointed oil, the children, everybody.
Yeah.
Like you said today, we need to start sprinkling in the kids' rooms.
Amen.
Our kids is going through.
Yeah, they are.
Yes, they are.
Our kids is going through.
Yeah. Yes.
We need to take it up a notch. We need to get serious about it. Okay.
Amen.
I'm real. Hallelujah. I don't want to get in trouble. So let's go ahead and stand and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to give Pastor some time to speak through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day that is not like any other day, dear Lord, that your presence is continuously felt, dear Lord, raising us to a new level of expectation through your Holy Spirit. Let us come today expecting, receiving the word of God, dear Lord. Help us to hear it in the manner that it was delivered to Pastor, dear Jesus. Let our spiritual ears and heart be bowed before your throne so we can hear you with clarity. We thank you, dear Lord. Continue to minister to Pastor and speak through him on this day, dear Lord. Let him speak with boldness and conviction only the Holy Spirit can bring. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's a nice to lead. You got it from Pastor Ben?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Is that the kind we give out?
Nope, that's the kind I gave out.
Yeah, that's nice.
Amen.
All right, well, praise the Lord, everybody. Thanks for being here. Good to talk to real people. And after all of everything that's going on, it's crazy. But it's good to see you. What's your name?
My name is Moses.
Moses?
That's right.
Moshe. And
that's my wife, Amina.
Amina?
Amina.
Amina.
It's true.
Okay, praise God. My dad's name is Moses.
Moses' name is Moses.
Huh? Yeah. No. Wow. At the Jewish synagogue, they called me Holy Ben Moshe. You know what that means? My name is Sandy, Ben is son, and Moshe is Moses. So that's what they call me when I'm there. So it's kind of crazy. Praise God. Well, Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
My goddaughter gave me this. See this, Pastor Ben?
No. Nice.
Yeah, that's funny. Nice. I got the thermometer in my mouth, trying to get well. They put stickers in here. Sorry, you're sick. Love you.
That's funny.
You know what? That made me laugh so much I forgot I was sick. Well, praise God. Okay. I want to make sure that I'm as serious with you as God is, because the Lord is. He wants to help us be with him, be saved, be prepared. And the only way to do that is, how many, okay, we got parents here?
Yes.
And you have kids?
Yes.
Okay. They live in your house?
Yes.
They make all the rules in that house, right?
Nope.
Never? Negative? Really? You know, God has a house.
Yep. All right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes all the rules in this house.
Amen.
And so what I want to really let you know is, like, God is a parent. He has a house. He has rules. And you can follow them and be happy, or you can not follow them and get your own place. And so you need to understand that. You can't make up your own rules in God's house. You understand? You can't say, well, I feel that it should be this way, or I feel that I should have more than one way to get to heaven, or I feel like, you know, if I'm attracted to this person and that person, I should be able to. It doesn't matter. You know, you can make up all the rules you want. It won't change God, and it won't allow him to let you into his house. You understand? And so we're going to go over something. Like, today I want you guys to know that our Lord and Savior is a shepherd.
Yes.
We are sheep. We're supposed to be awake sheep. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I've never been around sheep. I don't know how intelligent they are or not, but I know we're not the smartest group. You know, so we need a shepherd. And you have a shepherd to watch over you, protect you. Jesus is the perfect shepherd, because if you're in any trouble, he doesn't run. Like, if you have a hireling, you just hire him to watch the sheep for the day.
Mm-hmm.
If the wolf comes and he feels like he might get it too, he's gone. Yeah. He's like, but Jesus is a good shepherd. He would stay there and fight for you.
Yeah.
Okay. I want us, let me see if the, I want to make sure you guys are safe and that you get out of here safe. But I know that if you're in Christ, you have to live in Christ. You have to live under God's rules of what he wants you to do, okay? I don't want anybody to be like the members of the churches, of some of the churches that I went to when I grew up. I don't want anybody to think that as long as you go to church, you can do whatever you want during the rest of the week. I don't want you to ever think that, because you're not in a Sunday relationship. You understand? I mean, God is with you all week. He's watching your behavior all week. He's happy about the things you do all week. He wants to be a part of your life all week. You know, so this is not a Sunday. This is not a Sunday relationship, okay? And I grew up with people that basically lived like it was. And the world is like, basically, a short time away from tribulation. You can't cut it any closer than we are. It's, I don't want any born-again believer to go through tribulation. But I know that we all have free wills, and I know we're all fighting sin, and I know we're all doing our best to stay in the Word and have oil in our lamps and be ready for Christ. We have to do that. So I don't want to use that. There's a whole bunch of time left, and you can, and things aren't going to happen, okay? I was talking to my brother last night about this crypto, and I said, did you know it's patent name is 060606 under Microsoft? And he went, what? You know, because they don't really know how close we are. They don't know all the signs that are happening. Now, I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 real fast, because we're going to talk about Jesus, shepherd. And about what the shepherd is doing. The title of today's message is The Shepherd's Voice in 2021. Sooner or later, you're going to hear the shepherd's voice. If you belong to Christ and you're one of his sheep, his lambs, you're about to hear his voice. And the world may hear a loud trumpet. The world may hear a boom. You're going to hear the voice of Christ. And you're going to hear him say, come up here. And when that time happens, the world is in tribulation. I don't want to pretend to you like it's not going to happen. I don't want to pretend to you like the Bible's a fairy tale book and this is what we do talk about when we come here. I'm trying to tell you about something that's really going to happen and the world's going to be in it, okay? So I want you to be, I want you to fight a good fight of faith and to really make sure that you're putting Jesus Christ first in your life, okay? So let's read in Hebrews chapter 12. We can start to verse 22. And it says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Talking about your marriage when it happens. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteousness made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Okay? Now, when you talk, why would God add in here that Jesus' blood speaks a message to us stronger than the blood of Abel? Because Abel was also a shepherd. You guys know that?
Yes.
And Abel was also killed by his own brothers. You know that? Okay. Abel in the Hebrew is numerical value of 37. The 24 courts for the king would be 24. 24 times 37 is what? 888, which is what? Jesus. So God wants you to know immediately the whole story about Abel, Cain and Abel, is really about Jesus. Okay? Because there is a shepherd who is coming at a later time that's going to die. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. You in Genesis chapter 4?
Yeah.
Okay. Now it says this. It says, now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So right up, immediately, God starts saying, this is going to be about someone who's keeping sheep. This is about a shepherd. Okay? What chapter is it in? Chapter 4. Why is it? What in, you have, on what day did Jesus die? 4,000th year. You understand? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. In the 4,000th year, because a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, Jesus died in the 4,000th year. So God put this in the fourth chapter. Because in the fourth chapter is going to be, this is when this murder is going to happen, okay? Now, It says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, Cain did have a problem. You'd have to read some of the other books, like Jasher and stuff. And what they talk about Cain's offering, what Cain brought, was pitiful. What Cain was able to get from the ground, he basically stored the good stuff and brought God what was left. In the book of Jasher and stuff like that, it says it was a pitiful offering. Okay? Now, he could have done better in just that area, but the requirement was to bring a lamb. He should have went to his brother and said, I need a lamb to make an offering to God. What can I trade you for?
Right.
But he didn't want to trade any of his stuff. So he just said, I'll just bring God whatever I have. Okay? So, it says, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do what's right, or if you do well, will you not be accepted? So he's letting him know, if you do the right thing, everything will be cool with us.
Right.
All you have to do is do the right thing. But then he says this, and if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you. Now, in the Hebrew, it says, sin lies at your door, and it desires to mashal you. It desires to rule over you. So he says, sin is at your door, and its desire is to rule over you. Okay? But then in the Hebrew, it says, but you must master him. So he's saying, you have an enemy. You must master him. You must master over sin. His desire is to rule over you, but you must master it. Okay? You must rule over it. If you don't want to rule over it, sin is knocking at your door and it wants to rule your life.
Yeah.
But you must master it. Does he say, but I'll come in and fight your fight? No. Because God knows we have free will. God cannot go to Cain and say, you know what? I'm going to make you live right. God doesn't do that. I don't care. You born again. Now, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit changes a lot of things. Because the Holy Spirit is like a parent that just moved into your house and now starts to tell you how to live better, right? And some of the stuff you like, some of the stuff you don't like. Like, you know, I like that music. Holy Spirit, I don't like that music. Can't listen to that music anymore. How did you get in here, right? But the Holy Spirit does a thing where he's changing. Now, when he tells you to do something, you don't have to do it. I want you to know that. When he tells you to do something, you can do what the scripture says. You can quench the spirit. That means you can put your fingers in your ear and say, I don't hear you. This is what I like to do, and this is what I'm going to do, no matter what the consequences, which is what Cain is telling God.
Right.
He's saying, you know what? I'm not listening, okay? I know sin wants to master me, and I know you're saying I should rule over it, but I have ideas in my heart toward my brother, and I'm not willing to get rid of them, okay? So, it says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? We read that part. It says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother? Now, does he admit, oh, I did something bad, I killed him?
No.
That would have helped him.
Right.
But he says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He got sassy with God. You in your parents' house. Imagine saying that to your mother. No, you can't. See? We know. Okay. Because extension cord goes with that. Okay. So here we are. It says, and then he says, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield its strength for you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. After they killed their brother. What happened to the Jews after they killed their brother? Temple got tore up. They got kicked out of the land. And they became vagabonds and fugitives all over the world until they came back into the land in 1948. So do you see how this same story here is the exact same story? And it says that Jesus' blood is crying out a better thing than Abel's blood. Now, in the book of Ezra, Abel's blood was calling out for vengeance for his death, justice for his death. That's what Abel's blood was calling out. You know what Jesus' blood was calling out? Forgiveness and mercy. So Jesus' blood is calling out a better testimony than Abel's blood, even though their lives are a typology of each other. Okay? So Jesus is on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He made a murder into a manslaughter. Because if you didn't mean to do it, that means it's manslaughter and it takes a less punishment. But if you meant to do it, it was murder. But Jesus says they didn't mean to do it. So his blood is crying out, forgive them. But the forgiveness takes us asking for it and believing what he's done for us. And so that we can have this Holy Spirit living inside of us so that we can be available for God's house. You understand?
Yeah.
And for what he's about to do and as far as moving on. So here, let's continue reading here. We read Hebrew. I don't know if I should go back to that. Oh, okay. Let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, we're going to start at verse 4, okay? It says, once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, this is why I wanted, because there was a Jewish guy, and it was a pastor, he's working with a bunch of Jewish people, and he didn't want to say that the Jews killed Jesus. Because if he's working with them and they're financially helping him, he doesn't want to say that the Jews killed Jesus. But to say that the Jews killed Jesus is in line with the word of God because of Cain killed Abel.
Right.
It's a typology. You can't get rid of the word of God because you want to make other people feel good. This is why God tells you every story before it happens. So when it happens, you can't change the story.
Right.
So here it is. It says, once Pilate came out and said to the Jews, look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing a crown and a thorn and purple robe, the Pilate said to him, here is the man. Now he's out there with a purple robe with thorns in his head. What just happened? All the guards just mocked him, took him into the crowning room and put thorns on him and beat him and put a purple robe on him to mock him as being king. Okay, so he comes out and it says, as soon as the chief priests, their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." These are Jews shouting this. And Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. For as for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." Right. Pilate's declaring Jesus an innocent lamb.
Yes.
The Jews insisted. Who insisted? The Jews insisted, "We have a law. And according to the law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." And he says, when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. And Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power to either free you or crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of the greater sin." And who handed him over? The Jews. So a shepherd's own brother killed him. It was already written in Genesis chapter 4.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's go to John chapter 10. Is that air on, Pastor Ben, or is that heat? You got both of them on? Because it feels like heat. Pastor, it's cold up where? No, it's not. I do not need a tan. Okay, thank you. All right, you in John chapter 10? All right. So let's start at the top here. It says, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate," or the Greek would be say the door, "but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opened the door for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, this is a word, paralambano. He takes them to be a friend and companion of him.
Yeah.
So is he talking about sheep or people? Okay? Because he's trying to let you know, I have my sheep. I'm going to lead them out. And he says this, when he brings out all of his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So Jesus is going to call his sheep out. And if this Holy Spirit living in you is the Holy Spirit that God gives, you will hear his voice. And he will lead you out. And the scripture says he will go ahead of you and you will follow him out.
Yes.
He's going to speak. Okay? Now, it says Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. I am the door or the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved."
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's the first thing Dada showed me. He said, "You know what? I know you want to be a Muslim, But everyone that enters through Jesus will be saved. Mm-hmm. Who are you trying to enter through? I was like, because he's like, Rahman Abdul-Rahim ain't going. So he wanted me to know there's only one name that gets the door open. And what you're telling me used to be Sandy is that you found another door.
Right.
He said, good luck. You want to study with me or not? Because he said, I'm going to show you. He said, I was a Muslim for 11 years. And he said, that door would have got me, I would have walked right into hell. And he said, if you want to keep that name and this whole thing about you could choose your own door and you don't even, and this ain't your house, this is God's house, and you want to make up your own rule and your own God, see where it gets you. So that the simplicity of that made me think, okay, I got to find out the truth, because if there's only one way, I don't want to be messing with this, okay?
Amen.
So he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and he will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it until it's full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolves attack and the flock scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. Who was he talking about? Israel and the Gentiles. He said, I'm talking to you, and you're Jewish, and I'm letting you know I'm going to bring my sheep out of here, but there's some other sheep here I'm after, which is the Gentiles, and I'm going to bring them with me. Now, you know Mr. Twisted Scripture, which was me. I said, see, he's bringing other sheep with him. That means he's bringing the Muslims with him. He said, don't become your own pastor. Don't lie to yourself. Because if you want to be your own false prophet, this session's over. And so I have to understand what he's trying to tell me. There's only one door. There's only one shepherd. There's only one. When it says he has other sheep, he's talking to a Jew, to Jews, and he says, I'm also here for the Gentiles. Okay? So don't get that twisted. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, you hear that? And one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again.
Yes.
No one takes it from me. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Who killed Jesus? They think they did. But he says, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. Okay? He's the shepherd. He is the one. Now, it says his sheep know his voice. You guys don't remember that video. We had that video, right, Pastor Ben, where this guy goes out and his sheep are in the yard, in the field.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy goes out and he starts calling the sheep, like, to come over, you know? And the sheep just standing there. It's like, this guy's crazy. He just yelling them sheep like they ignoring him. Then the shepherd came out and called out one time, and they all turned around and started coming toward him.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, that was a real thing what Jesus was telling. Sheep know their shepherd's voice only. And so all these sheep came to the front of the gate because this one guy opened his mouth. And that's how it's going to be with us. You understand? You're going to hear a voice, and the voice is going to say, come up here.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, this whole thing that he's talking about, he says that it was winter in this time. So when he's giving this whole parable, he's talking about something that was happening in the winter, okay? I'm glad it's winter because I want to get out of here as soon as possible. And so the whole Bible is always talking about this exit. When he says, I lead them out, I paralambano them out. Paralambano means to take you as a friend or a companion, okay? And so when he takes us, he's taking us as a friend or a companion. And so we have to understand he's coming.
Yeah.
Now, here, we have to go to Revelation chapter 4 first. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Now, before we get started here, on Thursday, I gave what was, I thought, one of the most important Bible studies I've ever given. And it all had to do about this lament that's in 2021. And even Abigail said, did you mean 2022 on the title? I said, no, 2021. We will not be to 2022 till April 2nd. And I said, the lament is that the verb that says the action of ascending up is going to happen in 2021. And I said, so in 2021, the lament that's in Psalms chapter 121 says that this is the year that we ascend, okay? So to me, it's no accident that you have cryptocurrency 666. I want to say the other thing, but that's also on 666. So unless these people are running to the Bible and saying, let's make sure that we're in perfectly aligned with the Bible. We have a payment system that people will only be able to pay with a chip, but let's put 666 because that's what it says in Revelation chapter 13. So unless you think they're just fully trying to follow the Bible, that means God already knew they would choose that number when he wrote Revelation in 90 AD, when it's finished, right? So for thousands of years go by, and people are doing exactly what God said he would do. And then as a body of Christ, are we supposed, and since you're supposed to watch and pray, my brother should already know that Microsoft patent number for cryptocurrency is 666. He should already know that. If you're watching as a Christian, okay? You should already, and that should make you more alert and say, hallelujah, Jesus is coming, right? So 2021 is the lament that says that Christ is coming and he's going to speak, and that's the shepherd, and he's going to say, come out of here or come up here. We'll read chapter that chapter in a second. The lament is the symbol for the lament is a shepherd's staff. So they drew it in the form of a shepherd's staff. So the shepherd's staff is called a lament, and it's used to, you know, guide the sheep into the gate and guide the sheep. And it's kind of, they use the word lament meaning to teach, but what it is, it's like a guide. It's guiding you to the proper place to be, okay? So lament or lamented or melamed, which is to teach or to learn, is all telling you that God is teaching you. You are learning, okay? Why? Because with his word, he's gathering you into the right, he's prodding you to be in the right place. You understand? So the lament is a shepherd's staff.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. So now you've got the lament in 2021, and you have me studying about the shepherd calling his sheep out, and understanding that the lament is in 2021 in Psalms 121. So as a pastor, I have to say God is doing a whole lot of, let me make things clear to you, for Christians to not believe that a true rapture is going to happen and a true tribulation is going to happen, okay? Because the tribulation is something you shouldn't wish on anybody. You have absolutely no idea, but you're going to find out a whole bunch of things aren't what you thought they were. Amen. Okay? So I'm looking forward to us leaving, and only way I know you're going to leave is that you're not just a Christian church member, but you're a Christian weekly.
Yeah.
Okay? Because like Abel, you can master sin.
Amen.
You can master it. You know what it takes to master sin? To get rid of pride. Okay? And to get rid of sin. I was listening to a pastor, I was telling Drea the other day. He says two words in English, pride and sin, both of them have I in it. So if it's all about you, if I is in the middle, it's pride and it's sin. Okay? Because my wife, I'm not going to say what she asked me, but she asked me to do this, and I'm like, don't want to. I was going to get into I, because I don't want to. And the Lord's like, you know, that's pride and sin. You understand? It's all about me. If I'm happy, no, it's not about you.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And so sometimes you're just getting rid of pride, you can get rid of sin. You understand? Your boss tells you to do something, and you're like, I don't have to do that. He ain't my boss. Yes, he is. I've seen people get fired with that attitude, right? Because you have this I mentality, okay? And when I get successful, and when I do this, and when I do that, all of that is going to lead you away from God, okay? And so you got to be in the understanding of Cain. God said it before him. You have the ability to master sin.
Yes.
You have the ability because I gave you a free will.
Yes.
And you have the ability, but always understand, it always wants to master you. It's always got suggestions. It says what here? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? So he's got suggestions. He's got tricks. He's got darts. He's got arrows. And but overall, you know what gets rid of all of that? Your will.
Amen.
If your will and your faithfulness is toward God, you'll say no. You'll block all those arrows, and they'll just hit the ground. Because your will is to please God. And that's what God is looking for. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 4.
10 minutes,
Pastor. Hallelujah. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door in heaven, or standing open in heaven. What's that door?
Christ.
That's the door. That's Jesus. He's the door. He said even in the chapter we just read, I am the door. You hear that? He said, so the door is standing open in heaven. And the voice which I first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after that, or after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven. Where's John? In heaven, right after he heard the voice, with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald. Encircled the throne, and surrounding the throne were 24 thrones. 24 times Abel is what? 888.
Yeah.
And the seat, and they were seated on them 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. Now, the cough. I'm talking to you like you Hebrew students. The cough, which comes before Lamed, is the crowning ceremony. It's the cough Here, it's still on the board, isn't it?
Yeah.
This kaf right here in the Hebrew stands for the crowning accomplishment. This is when you received your crown. But the kaf at the ending has a safit, means that Jesus has to come down and get you to a cloud and then take you lamata up. Okay? So once he comes down and he takes you up, now it's time for what I say would be the first thing we see when we get to heaven, the crowning ceremony. So here it is. It says they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. And before the throne were seven lamps were blazing. Okay? Seven lamps were blazing. In heaven, you are going to be a light unto yourself. You understand? In this body, you're a lampstand. You understand? Because you haven't received true life yet. But in heaven, you will be a lamp. You understand?
Yes.
You will be a light. You will be like the angels. You will have eternal life. So these seven lamps that are blazing in heaven and standing on a sea of glass in peace is the church. How do I know? Because Sheba went to go see the king. And what does Sheba mean in Hebrew? Seven. Because Moses married this guy's daughters. And how many daughters was it? Seven. And were they Gentiles or Jews? Gentiles. So we can go through all of the sequences, because I tell you, so you don't get it right, God's going to tell you the story first. So when you get to the story, you can't change it.
Right.
Okay. Someone asked about, is the tribulation going to be 7 years? Yeah, let's go back to the beginning and we'll find out how long the 7 years is. Oh, look, here was a famine and it lasted 7 years. Okay. And Joseph is a Jew and he married a Gentile bride. So we can't change the story because we're in the New Testament. Do you understand? It's still going to be the same. It's still going to be the same thing, because God is consistent and he doesn't want people to be able to lie to you. So he covered himself in the Old Testament. So when you get to the New Testament, you'll know this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
OK, because so then you can't say, oh, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. No, he already. Yes, he did. They're his brothers. He's Abel. The same thing. Right. OK. I'm trying to see if that's too much for today. But let's continue reading here. Okay. It says, before the throne were seven lamps blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also, before the throne were what looked like to be a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Okay. So this immediate leaving the earth, landing in heaven, is a group of seven. And they're going up to see the king. And they're going up to be crowned. And God situated the letters in the Hebrew to let you know the crowning ceremony, there has to first be an ending, and he has to come down, then take you up, lamata, then the crowning ceremony happens. Okay, now the fact that it's all in 2021 should tell Christians who are watching that we're close. And it should tell Christians who are watching, I'm a pastor, okay? Look, if I see you doing something and it's not, and I feel like it's ungodly, I'm going to tell you. I'm not trying to tell you, trying to run your life or nothing, but I am going to tell you, because as a teacher, I'm supposed to try to guide you to the right way of making it into the kingdom, right? If I'm not your pastor, and I'm speaking mostly to our YouTube audience, if I'm not your pastor, just say, you're just a guy I watch on YouTube, you're not my pastor. I'll stay out of your life, okay? Now, I'm saying this because, you know, I had to address something that someone was posting things about Jesus and using profanity at the same time. So I gave a scripture like, hey, you can't, that looks makes Christians look very bad, you posting stuff and using the F letter, you know, all, and she's not using the letter, she's like dropping them, you know? And so that means either you're mental or you need somebody to tell you, I know you maybe you just got saved and you don't really understand, but here's the scripture. No filthy communication shall proceed from your mouth, okay? And I said, Jesus and those words don't belong in the same sentence. But immediately, she said, I don't know who you trying to make feel bad today. You ain't. And I was like, now, you know, before everything was cool, but now because I'm trying to tell you what not to do or correct you, I can't be your friend no more. So that whole thing got blocked and now I'm a bad person. And all. So anything that is ungodly, I'm trying to get out of your life. You understand? Because I know once the rapture happens, I can't talk to you.
I can't
suggest anything to you. There's the time to do correction, the time to preach the gospel is now. The time to ask your brother, how's that walk in Christ going, is now. We don't want to sit around and say, wow, it really happened. I should have told him. You can't do that. Look, I'm telling you, it's too obvious right now of what's going on in the world, that someone is in control of every country, everywhere on the planet. Someone is. And it's, and this should scare you that there is someone or some entity that has the whole planet in obedience. And then it should scare you that the currency that they're planning on releasing is crypted in 666.
Right.
That should scare you. You should be saying, you know what, we're about to get out of here. I need to tell somebody. Oh, but you might sound crazy. Yeah, but they'll appreciate you if they're gone. Mm-hmm. And they goes like, he's gone, what happened to him? Oh, he got raptured. Really? He was a Christian? I was a Christian too. Now, obviously you wasn't. You know what I mean? So I'm saying it's going to clear up a lot of things. And I need you to understand the reason we know it's going to happen is this. Every prophecy in the Bible came true all the way up to the present day.
Yep.
Okay? And we don't have time to go over them. But if God's been telling you the truth for 6,000 years, I don't think he waited till the end of the end, right before the tribulation, to write another book to just tell you, this I'm just writing to scare you.
Right.
Okay? It's going to happen. And so let's not only enjoy our family and our time that we have now, but also be a witness to other people to let them know you're living in the last days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know, it's like, well, what if it happens and then they'll think I'm crazy? Yeah, they already think you're crazy.
Hello.
You know what I mean? I know that. So it'd be better for me to tell you. If we're out of here, I can save a life. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.